I always hate to interrupt good fellowship, which we're planning to have some more of that, so maybe we'll just put a bookmark in the fellowship, and after our service we'll have a chance to get together and catch up. And what we're here for is to celebrate the life of Mae Ferris. Introduction as you're coming in. My name's Pastor John Graciano, and I loved Mae and George and was their pastor for many years. And she ministered here in this church with all her heart, and you're going to get an insight and a flavor of that and her gifting, which she so willingly gave all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of all the memorials I've done, this is the first one where I have handwritten instructions from the person I'm doing the memorial for. So yes, she, it's a couple years ago, she wrote out and handed it to me and said, this is what I want the memorial to look like. And of course, I didn't know what to do with that file. I've never gotten one before, and I'm like, okay, I'll just file that away in my office. And sure enough, now's the time to pull that file out. Well, number one, her instructions are a celebration and no sad music. Yeah, amen. I know the insight of this is amazing. So I just want to do an opening prayer, and then we'll kind of work through our program, which these are beautiful, aren't they? I hope you got one of these. This is, if you didn't, be sure to grab one, because this is keepsake worthy. This is amazing. So we'll try to work our way through that as we come together as the body of Christ, those that have faith and have a reason to celebrate, because we know where Mae is, and we're very confident of that. So, Lord Jesus, we gather in your name, and I thank you for Mae's life. I thank you for every minute, every hour, the time we had with her. Looking back, it seems fast. It seems like it went too quickly. But God, I know that Mae is living in your glory, in perfect peace, no pain, no sorrow, and perfect love. She's one that loved well. And so, Jesus, we asked as a tribute to her, as part of her heritage, may your love flow through us today, and this service be marked with your love, Jesus, which was lived out in Mae's life so wonderfully. So, Holy Spirit, come and minister. There is some sorrow because of our temporary separation, but Holy Spirit, give us that peace that passes understanding, and may we truly have the joy of knowing you and your salvation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Part of Mae's legacy is many of the poems that she wrote and authored. And you're going to hear a couple different ones today. And so first up, we're going to start with one of her poems, Serenity. And we have somebody that's going to read that. Is Chuck here? Oh, is it via video? No. Oh, you're right here. I'm sorry. I'm looking up and over. Thank you. Come on up. Yes, let me help you with that.
Place I like to be, a place that's called serenity, where grief and sorrow melts away, replaced by hope and sun-filled days, a place where happy songbirds sing, announcing joy of coming spring, where fragrant flowers blend their hues and shimmer with the morning dew. How healing is serenity, that lovely place I like to be. It's not on some exotic shore. I simply step out my back door. That really fits and describes my mom. So.
Thank you, Chuck. Well, as I already shared, this is somewhat easier for me in that the outline was provided by May herself, as you can see in the program Psalm 1. And it's also a little harder on me because I'm feeling the sadness and the loss of someone that I love dearly and was for many years a very strong spiritual support to me and to the ministry here. So the first quote from her set of instructions that she wanted all of us to know, and I'm going to read it exactly as she wrote it. She wants people to know dying is not a bad thing. Now, I was interested that she wrote that in the third person, but she is experiencing that right now, that dying is not a bad thing. And if the Lord should tarry and his return for us, we all will pass from this earth into eternity. I want to read Isaiah 60, verse 19. No longer will you need the sun to shine by day, nor the moon to give its light by night. For the Lord your God will be your everlasting light. This is describing what May is experiencing in reality right now. And your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set, your moon will never go down, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning will come to an end. Well, for us, that sadness we feel is called mourning, and it's a process that as humans we experience, that we go through, and thank you for being here. The support of going through it together, I believe, is very important. And I know that this is the best way to go through it, and that is together as family and friends. 1 Thessalonians gives us instructions about this process. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. And I like to give us this little coaching point right here. It doesn't say we won't grieve. It says we won't grieve like people that have no hope. And so there is that temporary separation. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the way May did and modeled, we will see her again. And it will be fun someday, that reunion. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Wow, we will have a reunion. Someday, God knows when, but we will see all our loved ones as well as May again. Now, you heard one of May's poems, Serenity, very beautiful. And I was thinking about the word poem as we study scripture in Ephesians 2:10. There's a passage that we use all the time here talking about we are God's masterpiece. And in the original language, this happens to be Greek for the word masterpiece, it's the word poema. And poema is the Greek word that we get the word poem from. And it made me think of May and not only her gifting to write poems, but definitely her masterpiece status. She is God's handiwork. She is God's masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10 says it this way, "For we are God's masterpiece, poema. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Now, May did give me instructions on a portion of scripture, and it's Psalm 1. And so I'm going to read that part that she wanted me to share at this time. Starts off with verse 1, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers." Verse 2, "But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do." I see the imagery, and I think of May as I read this passage. Her faithfulness over so many years, the fruit of her life, certainly in her family and children and the generations that have come through her, but again in the ministry and legacy of the ministry here and those that she loved so dearly. Hebrews 12 describes this for those of us that are going on. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses," and May is in that crowd right now, "witnesses to the life of faith, lived well, gone before us, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. That's one of the things I'm going to miss most about May, is just no matter what she was going through, if she was fighting cancer, sickness, she always had her eyes on Jesus. And many times as I would go and, in a sense, try to minister to her, I'd usually end up with her sharing a word for me or an encouragement. I'm like, wow. May, even in your discomfort, you are thinking of the other. That's powerful love. That is a tree planted by a riverbank that no matter what storm comes, is unaffected. May knew and lived out this reality. She knew that heaven was more real than the natural realm that you and I are experiencing and live in right now. As many of you know, she was literally planning on a way to teach all her neighborhood children Bible stories and read to them. And I'm so sorry the Lord took her home before she got a chance to realize all that, because it was already mobilizing and she had the plans, and I could just see all those Manitou kids gathering around and that being a highlight of their day. And May's knowledge, oh my word, her experience and biblical knowledge and years of serving the Lord, it just comes through tempered with such love as she would tell story. I couldn't think of a greater ministry than having her teach children eternal truths. She had that eternal perspective, and literally to her dying day, she was making plans for eternity. As I talk about May, I want to be careful to use the present tense, because she is alive, and she is just in a different place. And I think of a quote from D.L. Moody, a famous theologian and teacher. And this was actually quoted in newspapers. He said, "One day you'll read that Moody is dead. Don't you believe it? For at that moment, I will be more alive than ever before. And I love that quote because I want to focus on that. May is more alive right now than she ever was. And the peace and the joy and the energy and the excitement and the vision is perfect and full and not compromised by the limitations of these bodies in our existence here on earth. She had another quote for us in her notes, and I don't know how to share this because some of the things she wrote in the third person, some of the things she wrote in the first person, and then this line is kind of standing by itself, and it just said, love for each of us is outstanding. I'm like, okay, is she saying that to us? Is she saying that prophetically as she experienced Jesus in the first person and realizes his love for us is outstanding? And I was trying to figure this out, you know, as a student, as somebody that kind of really works on trying to understand language. And I thought, you know what? This is both. This is May's prophetic gifting coming through in her writing. Absolutely, you need to hear this. She wrote down in her own handwriting, love for each of you, her love for each of you is outstanding. She also wrote down in that same phrase, taken a different way, she is experiencing the love of Jesus Christ and it's outstanding. And the reality of that, I just kind of smiled. I said, well, Lord, thank you for your gifting in this amazing woman, prophetic in her own right, wisdom. And I'm just going to share what it says. Love for each of us is outstanding. 1 Corinthians 5:8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we have in the Word of God an understanding pretty clear for us that May is experiencing that outstanding love. And yes, it doesn't change one iota her outstanding love for each of you. I'd like to share out of Ecclesiastes. This is an interesting book and an interesting portion and thought. But in chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, who was granted wisdom from God, he says, a good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume. And the day you die is better than the day you are born. Better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. After all, everyone dies, so the living should take this to heart. And that seems very counterintuitive to us. I know personally, I don't think that way. It's better to spend your time at a funeral than at a party. But the wisdom of God through Solomon is just this truth. Everybody dies. And it's better for us that are not yet to contemplate our mortality. It's better for us to make decisions now that will have ramifications for eternity. And I know this is May's heart, and again, this is her instructions for us, other than to celebrate, other than her love for you is awesome. And you're going to hear some more of her poems, and Jesus is actually has one of them put to music. But this is the last thing I'm going to share about May's heart for us. And that is that we would know this same outstanding love that she experienced and is now experiencing in a perfect, full way. And that is the love of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, starting with verse 16, the Word of God tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. May experience that salvation. And since we are here, And I know this is May's heart for all of you. She would want you to experience that salvation as well. She would want you to know that love and that forgiveness and the freedom that comes from knowing that someday you will be with God in His glory for eternity. Later in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus is also teaching, and he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me, for there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would not have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." One of the disciples, actually Thomas, spoke up and said, "No, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me." I want to invite you, if you have never made this decision, it's a decision that you can make right now between you and the Lord. And that is a decision to trust that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And you can count on these words of truth for your salvation, for your eternity. And between you and the Lord, you can make a decision right now that says, "Jesus, I trust you. And I put my faith in your salvation. You went to a cross and you were innocent. You were put to death. There was a penalty being paid, but it wasn't because of your life, because you lived without sin. But by faith I receive that you paid the penalty for my sin. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your salvation." I want to pray for us. And if you would like to do that between you and the Lord in your heart of hearts, all you have to do is say, "Yes, Lord, I receive your salvation. Thank you for forgiving my sins." The rest is up to His Holy Spirit, which will now move in and guide you and be the power to live a new life redeemed by Jesus Christ. And for all of us that knew May and intersected with her life in one degree or another, you sensed that presence. You experienced that power. You saw a powerful woman loving radically. Well, that was her salvation. That was the Holy Spirit of God in her in such a beautiful way. So I'm going to pray, and with every head bowed, you are welcome to make your decision. But God, we thank you for your salvation. And as we gather, it's certainly not without hope, but it's with hope. With hope based on a truth, a reality that May is experiencing right now. We saw her faith. We corresponded with her faith. Now her faith is reality. God, I pray for anyone here that is contemplating their mortality and saying, "Well, as a tribute to May and her life, I want to make a decision right now. This is Jesus. I trust you for my salvation." You can say that in your heart between you and the Lord, and a spiritual transaction will take place, because it's the kind of faith that it takes to pray that prayer is the kind of faith that the Lord described that saves us. So Lord, I thank you for your salvation. And I thank you that we can come together as the people of God and celebrate life, because May is more alive today than ever. May, we do miss you, and we say goodbye to your earthly house, this tent that you lived in. But we welcome the day when we will see you again in the glorious presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. We have another one of her poems that is going to be shared. Okay. And I think this one is via video. No? I keep trying to play a video. Oh, here it comes. Okay, I'm trying to follow the program for us. I think this is a hymn that she wanted us to hear as well. And we have that on the video as well, correct? Okay. We wanted to have a chance, and the family also asked for this, just to hear from you and a chance to share. And so this is that time. And if you would like to come up here, that's best, because then we could all see and hear you. But if that's too big of an ask, we can actually bring this microphone to you. So if you just want to stand or come up or have anything you would like to share, we would love to hear your heart now. doesn't have to be any criteria. It could be funny. It could be a memory. It's just a chance for us to share and encourage each other. Since Marcia is breaking the ice, I'm going to make her come all the way up here. So this will be a good precedent to start. We're up front.
This is a celebration of May's life, and this family of May's is blessed. I just want to say that she was a woman of prayer and kept you all in prayer and would send me messages to pray for you whenever you were having difficulties and stuff. But I just wanted to say that I know May as a woman of prayer, and through her hardest times that she never took her eyes off of Jesus. When she was in the hospital or she was in the doctor's office, she always found somebody to minister to, somebody to pray for, and they became friends, always friends. Wherever she went, whoever she met became a friend. And so she always would tell us stories about when she would go to different places, and even in the hospital, in the cancer place, that she would always pray for the other people. And so I just want to say she was a blessing to all of us, and she prayed for all of us here at Freedom River Outreach. And so this is a hard day, but a good day, and just celebrating her life. And so I just love May. So.
Thank you, Marcia. Perfect. You're not going to come up, huh? I thought we started with a good. Okay.
And I'm not good with these things. Hi, my name's Dawn.
Oh.
And I met May about 9 years ago when we had Spirit House, a Christian ministry for men and women, homeless, drug addicts, and May and George became a big part, along with Pastor John and Freedom River. And I wrote this the other day. I've read the book Tuesdays with Maury, An Old Man, A Young Man, A Life's Greatest Lesson, 4 times. I finished it the 4th time night before last. The first 3 times I cried my eyes out. The 4th time I had to set my emotions aside, because the book has so much meaning to me and my relationship with May and what became my Tuesdays with May. I am taking Mitch's words and telling them at May's memorial. The curriculum, the last class of my old professor's life, took place once a week in his house by a window in the study where he could watch a small hibiscus plant shed its pink leaves. The class met on Tuesdays. It began after breakfast. The subject was the meaning of life. It was taught from experience. No grades given, but there were oral exams each week. You were expected to respond to questions, and you were expected to pose questions of your own. You were also expected to perform personal tasks now and then, such as lifting the professor's head to a comfortable spot on the pillow, or placing his glasses on the bridge of his nose. Kissing him goodbye earned you extra credit. No books were required, yet many topics were covered, including love, work, community, family, aging, forgiveness, and finally death. The last lecture was brief, with only a few words. A few funeral was held in lieu of graduation. Although no exams were given, you were expected to produce one long paper on what was learned. The last class of my old professor's life had only one student. I was a student. My Tuesdays with May wasn't always on Tuesday or making her comfortable with a pillow. It was taking her to her oncology appointments, sitting with her while she had her cancer treatments. When she couldn't hold down her food, I had to think of something that she would be able to hold down, and I bought her Chinese egg drop soup. which she was able to hold down. Every Tuesday, George had a movie date with his daughter, Elena, and Tuesday became my Tuesday with May, where we would sit out on her deck, her favorite place, her sharing her life with me, so many stories I will always treasure. This reminds me so much of May. I heard a little story the other day, Maury says. The story is about a little wave bobbling along the ocean, having a grand old time. He's enjoying the wind and the fresh air until he notices the other waves in front of him crashing against the shore. My God, this is terrible, the wave says. Look what's going to happen to me. Then along comes another wave. It sees the wave looking grim, and it says to him, "Why do you look so sad?" The first wave says, "You don't understand. We're all going to crash. All of us waves are going to be nothing. It is terrible." The second wave says, "No, you don't understand. You're not a wave. You're part of the ocean." To my May, my teacher, my friend, the woman I had the honor of calling mom, with all my love, Dawn.
Thank you, Dawn. That's perfect. That is great imagery of her being that wise professor, you know, passing on the lessons paid for and earned by life for her, but she would give so freely. Yeah. Anyone else? Thank you.
I was thinking probably for the last week about what I was going to say. I just want everybody to know it's a blessing to be a part of May's life, and it's an honor to know her. And May really was the master of orchestrating a lesson, even without you knowing that you were in class. I asked May when we moved in, I said, "May, God wants me to be here so you can impart your wisdom on me." And May said, "What wisdom?" I said, "That's how I know you have wisdom." And she said, "Okay." She said, "Here's your first piece of wisdom." She said, "The secret to long life is remembering to breathe." That's what she told me. And so I wrote that one down in my mental notebook. But even all of you guys here, this was May's wish to get every one of you guys in church today. And just to be a part of her life was a blessing. And, you know, I'm just really grateful to have got to meet all you guys and to become, you know, part of her life. So just, you know, God bless you guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome.
You can come up. Bless you.
You just turn your back. Oh, it's like, I didn't wear waterproof mascara, so I'm kind of upset about that. All I can think about is how many times May would say every day, "I just want my family to come to Christ. I just want them to know the truth. I just want them to come to Christ." And that's literally her dying wish. So that's the wisdom. That's really, truly the wisdom that she had, is that she knew Jesus personally, and she wanted her family to be saved. So I also was like, what am I going to say? May was super quiet, and sometimes she would be like how this, I'm like, is she mad at me? She wasn't. She was always thinking, and when she would say something, she'd say something so positive and encouraging, and she'd always grab my hands to pray. She had cold hands. But I'll tell you what, she had the most peace when she was sitting outside. She would always try to find the sunlight just to come on her, and it just looked so... like she was with Jesus then, like God was just shining his light on her. And I don't know. I think that my favorite times that I got to spend with May, and this sounds weird because I lived in her house, but was taking her like to the Y, because we'd have our best talks. I didn't know she went to like China. I'm like, wow. And she'd bring out these books, and I'm like, whoa, May, why didn't you tell me this stuff? I had no idea. She'd break out a new book, and I'm like, what? Read this article I wrote. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And she's basically just telling me, these are the things that you can do too, you know? I'm just glad that God put me in her life. I knew for some reason her husband George kept saying, "You guys need to come to the house. You guys need to come to the house." And we always, you know, brush things off and we get too busy. And then George died. Well, then she started calling us, and we'd go over, and she asked us to come live with her. And, like, it all came to me. Like, I could hear George's voice saying, "You guys should just come over. You guys should just come over." And I was like, I don't know why, but I feel like this is what God wants us to do. I feel like, I'm like, we could be comfortable here, or we could just give it our best. And that's what I wanted to do, is just make every day the best that I could do for her. And, you know, she says, oh, she's a stubborn woman. She was so stubborn. I'm like, "May, you cannot take that big trash out." You know, she's so stubborn. I was like, "I can do that, and you could do the littlest things," you know. She's just so stubborn. I don't know. She's hilarious, too. I just knew it was from God, and God just kept reiterating, "This is where you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to do." And she was so happy when we just sat down and spent time with her. That was like, she always says, I want a really good friend, she says, like a lifelong friend. That's what she would always say. She had the best one,
yeah.
Of course. But I would honestly say that my husband was her better friend, because they could watch Jeopardy and do all those things together. And I'm like, I don't even get it, you know? I'm like, bye, guys. But they had the best time ever. And those are the things that I think of, you know? And every time I go to cry now, I feel like I can hear her say, "You don't even have to cry. I'm so happy where I'm at.
That's right.
You don't have to cry. I'm happy."
Yeah.
Like, and that's really what I mean. I'm like, yes, you are. You're running around with Jesus. I'm like, yeah, go May, you know. So that's what I want you guys to know. Just
thank you, Jen. Perfect. Yes, Samuel, come on up.
Hi, I'm Samuel. You know, I don't know her that good, but, you know, I want to pay my respect, because a lot of people didn't know this, but I was doing street ministry out of here for like 5 or 6 years. And every time I'd come here Sunday, she'd be in the back, real slick, "Come here, Samuel." And she'd bring me peanut butter and jelly every week to do street ministry. She supported that ministry for 5 years, constantly bringing it to me all the time. And always get my, praise God, man. She goes, "Yeah, come here. Bring me out to your car." She goes, "When do you need some more?" I said, "Yeah." And she supported it. A lot of people didn't know that. And so I don't think she wanted me to tell nobody. So I kept it like that. But now here we are. Now I got to give recognition for it and thank her for it and thank you guys that, yeah. You know, give her respect. And I wasn't sure if I was going to make it here. And I was like, I got to come here, man. You guys don't even know. She was giving it to us every week, and then get the bread for me, too, if I needed it. You know, she's awesome. So yeah, thank you.
Thanks for sharing that.
Hi, I'm Chuck, May's son. And several years ago, when she was going through chemotherapy and she was actually very sick and in a lot of pain, my daughter Havilah and I went and visited her in the hospital, and she's laying in bed, not a hair on her head, obviously in a lot of pain and misery. But almost the whole time we were there, she was talking about, "Oh, this nurse here, she had this issue, and, you know, she just, oh, her back is hurting. She works so hard," and she was asking Havilah how Havilah's doing, and just, you know, was very thankful for everything. It was constantly the simplest little things she would be thankful for, and she would say thank you for. And that is something that, as her eldest son, I want to emulate in my own life. And with that, I want to, right now, I just want to thank Debbie, for my sister, for all the work she's done and this, these absolute beautiful brochures.
Yeah.
And Jen and Jeff, you know that she invited you into her home. And I heard Jeff tell me one of the times I was there that, oh, she just is doing this so much for us, but you were doing so much for her too. And so I want to thank you too for being there in that time of her life. It was very, very meaningful to us as a family. And Elaine, where did Elaine go? Oh, there you are. And even Adam, it's good to see you. Sorry I didn't see you before, but what you've done for my mom, I can't thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. And you continue. And Julianne, you are so amazing to us as a family. There's not one of us in this family that doesn't see you as the glue to this family. Yeah. Not one of us. Thank you so much. And there's so many others, and you, John, as well. But in particular, I just wanted to, because I know the character of my mom, and thankfulness is the very core of who she was on everything. And so I just wanted to let you know that as a family, we are very, very thankful and grateful. Debbie and Evan, too, I want to recognize you, too, because, you know, when George died, my mom, doing the final things, comes home from the hospital, and we're talking. I go out and get pizzas for everybody, and we're talking, having pizzas and everything. We're going, where's Evan? We couldn't find Evan. And then pretty soon he comes out of the shed, and I go, Evan, what were you doing? He said, I just wanted to do something for Grandma. I didn't know what to do, so I went out and cleaned the kitty litter box. But that was one of the things that I just wanted to say is to everybody in this congregation, everybody that knows, thank you. Because that is exactly what my mom would be doing.
Thank you. That's awesome. Very well said. Thank you for all the sharing. By the way, yeah, come on up. You're just, okay.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. Grieve not. When my sister was 16, she started to go into a little Baptist church around the corner. And I was 10, and she bribed me with a little white Bible that had a zipper to come to church with her. And I went, and I received the Lord, and I was baptized. For years, she moved away. I never went to church again for years and years, but I knew she was praying for me, because once you're a child of God, He keeps you.
We wanted to do this in this part of the service because you hear and learn things from someone else's perspective that we wouldn't have known, like Samuel sharing all those weeks she would buy peanut butter and jelly and come and donate it, and no one knew. But that turned into sandwiches that would feed homeless people blocks around the radius of the ministry here. So what a great time of sharing. What a great example. I just want to say this, keep it going, meaning we're going to move on with our service, but we're going to have a fellowship time just next door after this service, and please don't hold back. Please don't think, oh, I'm sure they've heard the story or they know about it. Not necessarily. So as you get a chance to fellowship, please, this is the legacy, this is the memory, and it's right that we should share with each other and encourage each other. Wow, in May's case, just beautiful heart that, yes, I want to emulate, just as her son Chuck said, there is so many things that we can not only learn but take on for our lives to pay tribute to a woman of faith, a woman of prayer, in a life well-lived, that loved well. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jesus, and he's going to share a couple songs, and including one that is one of May's poems that he put to music.
The more I seek you, she actually, we were doing Frovember, which is our like spiritual renewal month of the church, and she walks up after one of the services, or I think it's right before Frovember, and she walks up and says, "Hey, I got something for you." She hands me a piece of paper and says, "I wrote this song out. I don't know how to put music to it, but I wrote it, and so here's this song, and I want you to sing it." And the thing that happened though was, about a month later, I was moving on to another church, and I was going to sing it for her as kind of like the goodbye of moving on, but she passed away the week before, and so she never actually got to hear the song. So I know she hears it in heaven, wherever she's at, and with the Lord. And so we sang it together as a congregation. And I know it's written down. I'm not exactly sure what it's written down on the piece of paper, but it's actually her name of the song that she wrote was just Jesus. That was just the name of the song. You made the sun that shine, the light you put in our dim eyes. When night comes to hide the day, your countless stars show us the way. 'Cause Jesus, you are our morning song, the hope we cling to all day long. Jesus, you are our morning song, the hope we cling to all day long. When desert sorrow takes our strength, you send the cool rain that we may drink. Your powerful word directs our path. When all else fails, your word will last. 'Cause Jesus, you are our morning song, the hope we cling to all day long. Oh, Jesus, you are our morning song, the hope we cling to all day long. Jesus, you are a morning song, the hope we cling to all day long. You are a morning song, the hope we cling to all day long.
Muted my microphone, I did. Sorry about that. You're all invited to our time of fellowship after this service. So kind of follow the crowd around the corner and you'll see a fellowship hall. And again, remember my coaching point, please share freely and openly, and anything that you think is a experience or correspondence or memory with May, don't hold back. Today's a day for being open and sharing, and yes, laughing is okay, crying is okay, and we'll get through this together. So let's all rise, and I'll pray a benediction. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the life and salvation found in your Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, you are a spirit of peace, and I pray your shalom peace to minister even now. As we transition into a time of fellowship, I pray for memories and encouragement to flow by your power and your peace and your love. God, thank you that this is a celebration. Thank you that each one of us that knew May in different capacities and different times of life, but each one of us is richer. Thank you for the richness of your love that flowed through her so freely to everyone she met. So Lord, as we dismiss, we thank you for your salvation and that we will see May and all our loved ones again. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming today.